Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 432. This is the second half of the Jason Lewis interview. We're with Jason in Lakeville. Senator Dave Thompson is here. Jason, of course, and Tim Pitcher from the Farmington City Council sitting over here on the PA. And the entire truck jammed full of people because it's raining and the weather's bad. And rather than be out on the sidewalk, we're all just jammed into the truck. So we're going to go right ahead here. Sorry, guys. We're going to go right ahead with the Jason Lewis interview. Just a second, I got to tell you about ex-government cars first. Now, you've heard me talking about ex-government cars for years. Now open in Forest Lake is ex-government trucks. Ex-governmenttrucks.com is now open at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. If you need directions, you can call 763-777-8782. Get the directions, or if you know where it is at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, or Google it, drive right through there, because you can sort of drive through the inventory. And the new Mega Truck Center features dozens of the best brands: Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. And here's the thing. Ex-Government Trucks has lenders for everyone at all credit levels. They can get you approved fast. So here's what you do. You find your vehicle and then apply online for fast pre-approval, and you can shop and figure out what you want. Ex-Government Trucks has a 3-day peace of mind guarantee, so you can buy with confidence. And as always, they love taking trades. They pay the highest values every day without all of the BS. So here's the deal. Beat cheeks. When was the last time you heard that? Get out to exgovernmenttrucks.com today, 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, and look for the Ex-Government Trucks TV commercials with Star White on Channel 9. They're really kind of retro and cool. And thanks, Ed, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. What was I going to... So I talked about immigration. Oh, yeah. And another thing, she ended up going off on we need to do something about ISIS and the Iran agreement. And the last time we talked,
yep,
I told her, you know, I said, Jason disagrees with you on that. Right. And she said, well, I've talked to him. And I said, because I wanted to see what she thought of the right. fact that you disagreed with it.
We have talked about that, and I don't think we're going to change each other's mind. This week, as you well know, this administration, it's almost Kennedy-esque, says, we're just going to put ground advisors, special ops people in Syria. Now, understand what this entails. We took a strong man out of Iraq. What did we get? We got chaos, and we got ISIS and al-Qaeda of Iraq on the march. Now, Bashar al-Assad is not our kind of guy. He's a bad guy. But you know what? As Churchill said, if Hitler marched into hell, I'd find something nice to say about the devil. He is fighting ISIS. He wants to wipe out ISIS because he's a Shia. He's an Alawite Shia,
right,
that wants to wipe out the Sunni extremists. You know, people think about Iran and they think about Syria as, oh, they hate America, which they're not real fans of ours, to be sure. But you know where their biggest enemy is, who they really dislike? Saudi Arabia. The Shias are outnumbered 9-1 in the Middle East. They feel horribly threatened. They're surrounded by American allies, Jordan, UAE, Saudi Arabia, to whom we subsidize, and then their terrorists, the Wahhabists, come over and commit 9/11. So they're thinking, we're surrounded, and we're going to do something about it. We're going to fight these guys. So what I'm saying is, you can't, I mean, I know this is going to be traumatized Lindsey Graham, but you can't fight everybody at once. I'm watching John McCain on Charlie Rose. I know, forgive me. On Charlie the other night, and he said, we need to have more troops in Libya, more troops in Iraq, more troops in Afghanistan, and we need to commit ground troops, combat troops in Syria.
Didn't we just do this and it didn't work?
Wasn't for 15 that years?
Right.
Well, actually, since Napoleon invaded Egypt.
But my issue. My issue is that the precipitous withdrawal didn't help, and now we have right? Russia and China. Now China is going to be a part of the quote-unquote Russian coalition.
If Russia wants to try to do this, this is where Trump is actually right. Russia had this experience in Afghanistan. How'd that work out for him?
Just a second. The point is that without the United States in the region, then you have Russia and China moving into the region. And I'm not saying you're wrong, mm-hmm. but how do you deal with that?
They can't do it. I mean, look, after World War I, the Ottoman Empire is vanquished. The French and the British get together and says, who wants Mosul? And the British say, we'll take Mosul. All right, who wants Syria? And we'll take Syria. So they created these new countries called Iraq and Syria. They're artificial borders. We haven't been able to get people, you know, fidelity to those borders. They have more loyalty to their tribes in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq. Let them sort it out. We have got to quit fighting these. Do you think they're going to... The Chinese are not going to go in there the way you think they're going to go in there. Russia might try, But here we go with Russia and Afghanistan again. Didn't work out for them too well. I say if they want to start getting terrorist attacks on their homeland because they're in there, that's their problem.
And Putin's economy is in horrible shape.
Exactly.
How can he wage war on anything?
All he wants is
he only
Assad.
Has 1,500 troops.
Remember,
there now.
In the Gulf War, who was one of our key allies? Oh, Bashar al-Assad. Well, actually, it could have been his dad at that point. But it was Syria. So Saddam Hussein used to be our ally. Gaddafi said, I love Condoleezza Rice. We mend the fence. So we have these people that, oh, we're with you, we're with you. Then all of a sudden, we do a 180, and we take them out. What do you think, you know, what kind of message does that send? It sends we've got an incoherent policy. So all I'm saying is, I agree with you on ISIS. That is the principal enemy right now. So let's take them out. Why would we hinder...
So why not send troops to take them out then?
Why would you do that when the Syrians want to? Why not let the Syrians do them?
So, well, this is really an Obama problem in the sense that he's the one that said Assad has to go. So
right.
He can't be the one. This is going to be a Nixon goes to China thing where somebody is going to have rapprochement with Assad if you want that, because we have a president and many Republicans who have said Assad is the worst person on the planet
right.
And he has to go.
And
what is the Republican foreign policy?
It's the same as John Kerry's. The same as John Kerry's. So Obama says, no, there's a line in the sand, Assad's got to go, but we will never put ground troops. Well, today, we're putting ground troops in. They're special ops, but, you know, this is the mission creep, right? So what do the Republicans say? Well, Obama's crazy. Why? Because he's doing this? No, he's not doing enough of it. The American people are tired of these endless wars. You can't have freedom with perpetual war. Eisenhower was right, and Ike knew a little bit about war. He says when you start to make, you know, his famous military-industrial complex speech before he left office, if you start to make military decisions based on domestic concerns, you're not helping national security. All you're doing is blowing the budget. And $1 trillion later and 6,000...
So in other words... You know, Obama's foreign policy effort was really about his poll numbers here in the United States winning the last election. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I may disagree with my Republican brethren on that, but I think think about a general election. If you want to just be practical and think about an election. In 2016, if the Republican Party goes to the ballot box and to the independents, the young people, and blue-collar Democrats and say, you know what, if you like Iraq... You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we go into Damascus and Tehran. They're going to lose. The American people have had enough of that.
Let's talk about Paul Ryan real quick. Let's talk about the Freedom Caucus in Congress. So
yes.
You get to Congress. Do you caucus with the Freedom Caucus or the mainstream establishment Republican leadership? And how's Paul Ryan going to be as speaker?
That is the same question I got on public television last night. What has happened to Davis these years?
The only thing missing is a little bit more measured voice and a little more measured tone.
Wait a minute. Let me just... Well, Jason, as you know, Paul Ryan will be speaker.
Welcome to the CNBC debate, everybody.
I think it's a valid question.
No, it is. And as I told Almanac last night, since I have interviewed most of the members of the Freedom Caucus, I imagine I'll be caucusing with them, sure.
So
Ryan is, in many ways, a disappointment. I mean, this deal that was cut for Paul, so he doesn't have to deal with this stuff. He supported the deal. I wouldn't have. But I do think you got to give the guy a chance because, you know, Boehner and McConnell are over here. Freedom Caucus is over here. Paul is not in either camp. He is more conservative than the Boehner-McConnell crowd. He's not a Freedom Caucus guy. But I think because of that, you have to give him a chance. So
and the reason that budget deal got so bad is because the Democrats knew for a fact that John Boehner wanted to clear the road for Paul Ryan and get a deal done.
Right.
Well, when you know somebody requires a deal, you got him.
And Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Tom Cotton and Peter King wanted to bloat the Pentagon budget because they need money to send troops to Syria. So they go to the Democrats and say, hey, if you give us this, we'll give you the social welfare program.
My understanding also is that the defense thing is really just a veil to funnel money into other stuff because it's not really defense specific. So some of that money that's going to go, quote unquote, to defense can go to other things. And
let me tell you something about that real
true.
Quick. And Bob's would know this as well as anyone. A couple of things about the defense budget. It's roughly $600 billion. It's more than China and Russia combined. We've got 800,000, not 8,000, not 80,000, 800,000 civilian employees at the Pentagon, most of them members of the American Federation of Government Employees. You think they're on our side? I think we could trim that back a little bit. We've got Abrams tanks, 9,000 of them, that the Army doesn't even want. Congress appropriates $183 million more. We've got the F-35 fighter that after 14 years and $1.4 trillion invested...
The Canadians don't even want it.
Nobody wants it. So military procurement has got to be addressed. We can keep our pledge to our troops,
it
and that's what
cool
makes
plan,
the military great, the men and women who serve. We can keep that pledge, and we can still trim the defense
but
budget.
But we do have some pretty cool stuff.
Yes, we do.
And we
you
want
throw a trillion
cool
dollars
stuff
at something, you might get, you know, you might get some Velcro out of it.
That's
oh, wait a minute,
line.
That's the space program. I'm sorry.
Gosh, I was going to... Oh, I know. And we're I'm kind of running out of questions, but... So...
We'll open it up in a second.
I think it's Jeb Bush, but I know that Paul Ryan has also advocated this Medicare plan that will save Medicare, that will involve premiums for some people and will increase the retirement age. And that's probably going to be something that comes up in the next session.
Yep.
So, Social Security, Medicare. I know there's a lot of retirees out here, so...
Yeah, the Social Security trustees came out with their report, the latest report recently, and Social Security, the trust fund, will run out in 2034. At that point, we can't redeem our IOUs in a filing cabinet in Virginia and get the money back to fund Social Security. So at that point, if nothing is done, you will get 75% of the benefits you get today. So people that advocate nothing be done are advocating a 25% benefit cut. I don't think that's wise. What you want to do is you want to make it sustainable for the next generation. Nobody's talking about the current generation because there's not the political will to do anything of people. And there's a contract there. I get that. But people like me, people like Dave and you, retirement age has got to go up.
Yeah. I'm not retiring.
I know. That's the scary part.
But what happens?
You'll never retire.
You're a freak.
Yes.
Normal people retire.
Right. So you've got to do that, and you've got to adjust the COLA increases. And Social Security is actually easy to get done that way, by the way. And now the Democrats are going to say, oh, no, since the FICA tax only goes to $118,000, that lets the rich off the hook. Let's uncap that. So the guy making $1 million has to pay 12.4% on everything. You know what that solves? 45% of the deficit. If you uncap the whole thing, and it turns Social Security into what? A welfare program. If you wanna take away the support for Social Security,
that's part of this
funding.
That's part of this budget. Is the Social Security Disability Fund, which is being used for welfare,
which is broke now.
The moment you open the system up and say, okay, the rich are going to have to start paying more, then it becomes nothing more than another wealth redistribution scheme, and we got enough of that.
And support vanishes.
If I ran for Congress, I would just say we're going to arrest all the rich people, take their money, and put them in camps because we've already built.
Then you'd be running as a Democrat,
right?
Yeah. Apparently, I sit by you in the Senate.
Does anybody out here, anybody jammed into the ambulance, have any questions for Jason that I didn't ask? Any thoughts?
Free CPR after the podcast.
We don't, I mean, there's no dumb questions, by the way.
Yeah, Tim, you want? Sure.
Tim Pitcher wants to ask a question. Just ask.
I'll repeat the question. Go ahead.
All right, Jason. As a current delegate and a probable delegate for the CD2 coming up, it's important to me is... Do as you say as you do.
Right.
You know, if you're going to campaign saying what your beliefs are and what you're going to do, I would vote for you based on what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go there and actually do that. I don't want you to go there and drinking the water and all of a sudden doing something different. So would you...
Yeah, there's something in the water.
You know, I get that question every place I go. Talk about a skeptical...
Are you a principled conservative, Jason?
Well, they've been burned. They've been burned. You know,
but I mean, this is the thing. They go, and don't even get me started about this, but they go to Congress or the State House, and all of a sudden, the really principled conservative people that showed up at the events, they don't...
Well, not everybody.
Gone.
There's a Freedom Caucus. Those people didn't go over to the dark side.
But
the two points I'll make on that. One, I'm going to do exactly as I say, but that doesn't mean all my positions will agree with you or agree with the Republicans. I'm sort of an outlier on some foreign policy questions. I think we can eliminate spending across the board. I like the budget sequester. Now, am I betraying the Republican Party on that? So I'm going to do what I say, whether that's, you know, I believe that states ought to be able to experiment with medical marijuana. Is that a liberal position? Yeah, well, you betrayed your principles. Well, well, that's federalism. That's what I believe.
Not to interrupt, but I think part of the problem with the whole Republican spectrum and the whole, actually, it's the right center all the way up, all the way over to anarchists, is there isn't any consistency anymore in the post-Cold War environment for any of these issues, whether it's foreign policy or marijuana or, you know, law enforcement.
Voters look at Democrats and they see, naturally, irresponsible spending and we're going to buy votes with other people's money. Then they look at Republicans and they say, well, wait a minute. You just want to spend money on your programs.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of...
So how do you fix that?
Well, you be intellectually consistent. And the budget sequester was a wonderful thing because it, exactly what it was. It cut spending across the board. But to answer your question more directly, how about four terms and you're out? You know, people didn't think I'd pledge by the endorsement. I'll give you four terms and that's it. I'm out at 68 and Bob and I hit the links. It's back to the golf course.
And they raised it retirement, so that'll be perfect for you.
Yeah. I get Social Security then. But, I mean, there's no reason to have more than four terms in the House and more than two terms in the Senate. Absolutely. And that's 20 years in Washington. And that would eliminate, how many people, Dave, would that eliminate in Washington that have been there over 20 years right now?
A lot.
Should we go back to appointing, having state legislatures appoint senators with term limits so they
17th
get two terms?
Amendment, yeah. It would be nice to see the Senate have a more of a deliberative mode that is above the people. There's a reason we're a Republican.
Instead of running for president?
Well, instead of taking a poll with their finger.
Yeah.
Well, they all whether that would be done by having the legislatures do it, I don't know. But we have to pick and choose our battles, Bob, and that's probably not on the top of the list right now.
So you have a question about health care?
How do we get rid of Obamacare? Very seriously, it's so integrated in the hospital systems as well as Medicaid. How are we going to start pulling that back? What happens to patient privacy?
Yeah, right. Well, same with Common Core. There's massive data collection there, too.
Oh, that's right.
Welcome to Optum in Eden Prairie.
You know, Bob earlier was talking about Ryan's premium subsidy program. Of course, the left calls it vouchers. You can't take Medicare patients, instead of giving them carte blanche and whatever they want to consume, you can't just give them $10,000 a year and tell them to go buy a private plan. Why, that undercuts Medicare.
Well, you can't because you couldn't get one for $10,000 a year.
Well, but if you take a look at how much we're spending on Medicare and you divide that up, it would be $10,000 or $11,000. But the point is, that's exactly what Obamacare does. It subsidizes private plans. So the liberals who say you can't do that with Medicare are doing it with Obamacare. Now, the hypocrisy, you know, aside, Obama said that his plan, the Affordable Care Act, would reduce spending by reduce premiums by $2,500. We just saw them go up by $4,500 since it was implemented. You cannot impose a Cadillac-style health insurance plan that covers gambling addiction for Mormons, covers maternity leave for single men, that has all these bizarre mandates. Exactly. Well, Dave did say you were a freak of nature, and so you may need that. We don't know. But you can't impose these essential benefit services and a community rating. You would know what a community rating is, but a health insurance company goes in there and they want to cover someone who's young and healthy. They can't charge the person who's old and sick more than that person. So do you think they're going to say, well, since we have a community rating system, we'll just lower that premium for the older person down to the young? No, they take the younger person's premium and they jack it up, which is why premiums are going up and why everybody's now working 29 hours a week.
Twyla Bray says that if you defund it, it'll collapse of its own weight.
Sure. Or here's an interesting
idea. And we were talking about
an interstate compact among the states. So if you could get Congress, they have to authorize an interstate compact. If the states all got together and said, we're going to move on an interstate compact to let people buy insurance across state lines, they don't have to comply with the mandates, we're going to do that outside of federal law. That might be enough to do it as well. Now, that's a controversial thing.
So let's suppose the thing collapses. Then we're going to be right back to the same issue.
You know, that's a really good point
elected,
that our side doesn't want to admit. The reason we got Obamacare was because you can't, and the Republicans can't do this and just say repeal. Because that's how we got it. We were in a mess before. And the fundamental problem is third-party coverage. The fundamental problem is we all expect the government or our insurance company to have prepaid first-dollar coverage on everything we do.
I want free healthcare. I'm
going to send my son to the doctor for a football physical. I want it covered.
Well, Bernie Sanders wants single-payer health.
You cannot separate the cost of a good or service from the recipient, or there's no market discipline.
Right.
And there is no better example of that than the healthcare system. The bottom line is you get anything you want, when you want, as much as you want, and somebody else pays the bill. Maybe you have a $10 copay. And the bottom line is nobody should receive medical services without having some skin in the game.
Including period. Medicaid.
Yeah.
I mean, charge them $25 to go to the hospital. Just charge them something, for crying out loud. This goes back to the insurance policy.
There is a copay for Medicaid, but they know they don't have to pay it.
Well, and nonprofit hospitals have to take, under that 85 Emergency Medical Treatment Act, have to take illegal aliens and service them whether they pay or not. So the bottom line is you have to go back to a real insurance model. And real insurance doesn't cover your oil changes.
That's right.
It covers a catastrophic event. But Obamacare does not allow people to buy that kind of insurance.
So you're gonna have, we're gonna have to go back, take the engine out of the thing, rebuild it, and put it back in the car.
And let me just add one more thing on portability. You know why we have a portability and we do have a pre-existing crisis? Because I'm working at 3M or I'm working at a company my whole life. I get laid off at 57. I have diabetes. Now I'm thrown into the insurance, the individual insurance market for the first time in my life because I lose my insurance when I lose my job. Well, what insurer is going to cover you if you're going to take more on claims the first year than premiums?
Why can't we have a situation like we have with pet insurance? I've said for years that I'm going to go get pet insurance because it's $90 and they have nice little offices and they come in and look at you
the same way. Homeowner's
insurance,
life insurance,
or
automobile insurance.
Right.
There's true portability. Well, we are being treated by a dog. It's called Obamacare. or like a dog, I should say, not by a dog. I didn't say that. The point is, you're right. Our insurance model is broken, and we've got to reform that, and that's the answer.
Well, and the key is getting insurance back to its purpose. If you look at the reason for insurance, it is to cover catastrophic, unpredictable events. And so people agree to pool their money because we can't predict who will be impacted. So the people in this
So you're saying if I break my arm, I'm going to have to pay for that. So if I break my arm getting out of the ambulance this afternoon, which I'm going to have to pay for.
What's your cell phone bill? $250 a month?
Well, not quite.
A lot of people, it is.
Depending on data.
Well, you don't have my girls. But anyway, people can afford to pay that, and they can't afford to pay their annual physical. Of course they can. That's exactly it. Look at cosmetic surgery, dentistry, LASIK. All those prices are coming down precisely before what David said. You have market discipline and consumerism. Right now I go there, my deductible's met, the doc says, take another test. Well, what will it cost? Well, cost, take two more. Why not?
Or it's like my mom, who's 93 years old. They were telling her she has to take Lipitor, and she said, I'm 93 years old. You know, I'm not taking this anymore. I don't like what it does to me, and I don't like paying for it. I'm 93, and if I die, I die. I don't, you know. You've heard me talk about my mom, the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast. She insisted I get new tires, so.
You know, Bob's been our favorite whipping boy for a number of years, and when you talk about your mother, all I say is, I feel sorry for her.
I tell you, when it was your show, followed by Mischke and then Davis, honest to God, those were the days.
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Well, and Mischke, you know, one time I tell you a story about Mischke that he's in the studio. I was going to go on at 10, so it was 9:30 or something. He brought his boys in, who are now probably in their late 20s, early 30s. And they were probably 8 or 9 then. And so he's got these two little boys, and he puts them in the conference room, which is catty corner to the control room. And Mischke's in the control
corner?
Room.
Have you heard that one?
That's a different pronunciation. Where are you from, dude?
I don't know. Chicago.
It used to be Kitty Corner.
Yeah, go ahead. It's Kitty Corner. It's actually Catty Corner.
It's a large corner, so it'd be a cat. Okay,
anyway,
I get it.
All right. It's diagonally across from the studio. So in the studio is all this.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was always pounding and throwing things. And then in the conference room, they're throwing things and pounding in there. And I just thought, like, father,
this
like,
is
son,
chaos.
It was great.
Well, those were crazy days. You got in during those days.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
And Barbara Carlson, Don Vogel, Mischke.
I got a Barbara Carlson story that I cannot tell.
I
will afterwards.
Please don't.
When we all sit down.
I just remember when she got up on her knees at Super Talk on the console and screamed at some guy, you can't run this city. I don't know if it was Mark somebody that was running for city council, and she's, you can't run this city! Ah! And it was insane. Anyway, I digress.
The whole thing was insane for a while there.
So you're going to have your work cut out for you, though.
Absolutely.
On a repeal of Obamacare, if the majority is retained in the Senate and the House, and if there is a Republican president.
But this is an inflection point. It reminds me of 1980. It really does. So you had the Carter malaise. You've got a situation where the economy is not growing, even though they're telling you it's growing. Median household income is down 4,000 or 5,000 from 2007, 2008. So people are ready for real change. How else can you explain Donald Trump? I mean, this is a watershed moment that I think we might be able to get something done. But where my work is cut out for me is in the 2nd District to win the election.
Right.
I cannot take this for granted. I can't say, oh, I'm a talk show host. Vote for me.
No,
I got to get out there and talk with every delegate. I got to recruit everybody like Tim and say, you got to work for me, buddy, because we've got to keep this seat in the right hands. And then we've got a couple of Democrats that are very well funded. So it's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Something like $1.5 million raised by Democrat candidates. I mean, it's clear to me that the Democrats feel that this seat is...
The one of them says they've got $1 million on hand. They put in $1 million. They raised $38,000 in the last quarter.
Oh, okay.
But candidates do this a lot. They'll throw in their own money as a loan. They don't contribute it.
Didn't Howe do that?
Funny you should say that. It's not quite $1 million. But they throw in their own money and say, look at the balance I've got. They have no intention of spending it. And then once they either flame out or they get contributions to pay back, they take the money.
To scare candidates like you.
You've got to raise outside money in this race. This is going to be an $8 million race. If you don't raise outside money, you can't buy it yourself.
Where does your money come from? Are you going to, you know, that's the argument is
that the
money comes from those people that make you do what they want you to do.
Pardon me?
The people that make you do what they want you to do if they're going to raise the money for you. So this is why people go to Congress and they think, oh, Joe's going to do this. And
well,
he does
you have to be honest with your contributors. You can say, look, I'm not going to, you know, obviously it's illegal. You can't buy votes. But I'm not going to do everything that you agree with. But do you want Angie Craig? Do you want Mary Lawrence? You know, if you think it's the lesser of two evils, that's fine. But just pony up. And frankly, that's what I've been saying. And we've had some success so far.
Good. Anything else that I didn't mention?
JasonLewis2016. I think everybody ought to say that. JasonLewis2016. Oh, Lord, I'm already groveling. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for doing this. Thank you, Dave, for all your service and coming out. And thanks, everybody, for coming. Capacity crowd here. People can't see it, obviously, but I bet there's, what, 5,000-6,000 people there?
I'd say about that, yeah.
Oh, right. You guys listening, did you hear that? Yeah, right.
We appreciate the Minneapolis Police Department assisting in security for the event. That was nice, yeah.
Which we'll reimburse.
Yeah, yes, we will.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, sponsored by X Government Trucks. Their new Mega Truck Center is open out in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, or you can call 763-777-8782. Big selection of trucks. If you need a work truck, a plow, a van, it is certainly worth checking out. You can also check them out online at xgovernmenttrucks.com. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Don't forget the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast, Alpha Systems. We know that there are pilots listening. In fact, there's a pilot right here, Bob from the Marine Corps, USMC retired, a helicopter pilot. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA has saved lives. It's FAA approved, and we want it to be part of your avionics package. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. All right, that does it for podcast 432. Thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, and thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter, and thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. They keep me in Komodo Dragon Coffee and diesel fuel for Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8. Getting ready to head back out starting in February at the very latest. I might even actually be going down to Iowa at some point in November, so stay tuned for information on that. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast live from Lakeville with Jason Lewis. It's been great. Podcast 432.